Tonight, Lord God, there's a lot that we could have been doing tonight, but I thank you, Lord God, that we as a body of Christ chose to put you first tonight, Lord God, each and every day. Every day, Father God, we purpose to put you first in our life. I thank you, Lord God, that I will not err. I thank you, Lord God, that every word that comes from my mouth and from my pastor's pulpit, Lord God, is a blessing to everyone that is here. And I just thank you and ask you this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Everybody's doing good. We finally got sunshine at 3 o'clock. It's clouds all day. Then it got real humid. Church, repeat this with me, all right, and say it from your heart. Father, help me every day to live for you. Help me every day to listen to your voice. Help me every day to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. This is going to be a message, I pray, of uplifting, and I believe I'm going to preach myself happy. It's things that we all need to know, and it's probably things that everybody already knows. So it'll be a review, if you will. This message, like my last one, and I believe that Brother Bob is healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. God is good, church, is he not? It doesn't matter what we go through every day. Say every day. We can go to him. Every day we ask for him. His help, every day, he answers our prayer. Yes, he does every day. Amen? This message, like the last one, was inspired by Elder Bob Galino. It was during pre-service prayer, and as I have here a few weeks ago, but it was actually longer because I was supposed to do this message basically, I don't know, Dean, like 6 weeks ago or something like that. That's when we had the bad snowstorm and they canceled service, and then we just continued right on. So I put it on the shelf. And tonight's the night. Say amen. Amen. And as I was praying during pre-service prayer, I didn't even realize that I was constantly saying two little words. I didn't realize it. But it was Elder Galino came up to me afterwards, and he was chuckling after prayer was over and getting ready for service, that 10-minute break. And he brought it to my attention, and henceforth, tonight's message. Tonight's title, if you are taking notes, thank you, is titled, Every Day. So say that with me, church, every day. Let me open up with a few questions, and you can answer with every day. We should be praising God. We should be thanking God. We should be witnessing for God. We should be doing our best to live for Him. So, you know already that tonight's message is called Every Day. Think about that, church. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us every day. Never will He leave us. With us every day. Aren't you glad? So I wrote down, you don't have to do 10 things every day, but these are 10 things Christians can do every day. Number one, treat other people in the way that you want them to treat you. Amen? It seems like today, when we go about our own business, kindness has gone by the wayside. Politeness has gone by the wayside. It's I, me, my almost every day. What have you done for me lately? Is the attitude that we get from the world today. Now, unfortunately, church, our children that are, listen, and I know a lot of you like this, when I was growing up, we went to church. Now, we got the backhand like this, you know, ding, if you didn't go to church. And our families brought us to church. Dad was always working, so he sent us. My grandmother was blind, so we brought her to church almost every day. St. John's in Manaca. They had service almost every day back then. But Sundays, we made sure that we went. We brought Grandma because she wanted to go. But today, the children are not churched. They don't know what it is to thank God. They don't know what it is to be grateful. But boy, when they want something, they are very quick to try and get it. It seems like greed has really wanting to take over. But as a body of Christ, we can change those things. Amen? We can. These children are not taught today. Pastor Bannon, I can remember when we would come here, we had three services. And the services were full. And our children were full in the back. Does anybody else remember that? It was packed. It was packed. Because we brought our children to church. Train that child in the way that they should go. And that's what we did as good parents. Trained them. It seems like we're so busy, which is a tool of the devil to keep us very busy, that the parents, I don't want to say don't have time, because everybody has the same allotted amount of time. But we're very busy, but it's almost like the parents don't want to train their children. They're a burden. Why did you have them? And, you know, it takes work to raise children. I've always told my son, it doesn't take a man to have a child. It takes a man to be a father to that child. Amen? Treat other people in the way that you want them to treat you. This is the hallmark of Christianity. Be kind to people, even when they are unkind to you. Now, how many know that is really easy to do? Yeah. Yeah. And people can be unkind to you every day. Every day. I'm doing pretty good. I'm reading the small print that I wrote out without my glasses. I can't stand those things. Even when they are unkind to you. That way, you, Christian, you set an example for them. Think about that. And you become a representative of the Christian faith. Amen? When we, you know, God will be our advocate. God will go before us. He will make that way. People lie. I'm getting to the point now, Brother Dean, when people start lying about me, I'm starting to say, oh, well, God will vindicate me. Boy, I used to want to jump in head first. I just go about, and then if somebody comes up, there's going to be that opportunity. Somebody's going to up to you and say, Brother Dean, you know what I heard about this? Heard about you. Is this true? And then you can look at them, and you can say, you know me. Does that sound like me? No. There you go. God will vindicate you. God is on your side. Yes, he is. Who can be against us? Amen? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And Jesus is quoted in 7:12, the NIV translation. Number two, what we are to do, or things that we can do as Christians, is help people. Now, I know this church does. This church helps a lot of people. We have out ministries. We have clothing drives. We witness to people. And that, see, again, it goes back to training. We have been taught well here. So we carry on pastor's work. See? Don't be shy with what we have learned. Amen? In Matthew 25, 34 through 40, Jesus tells us that we are to give food to those who are hungry, give clothes to people who need them, provide shelter for people who have none, visit people who are sick. We do that. In fact, we do all of this. And give comfort. Dean, don't ever take this lightly. Give comfort to people who are in prison. That every day, those people need to hear the word. I was going to save this for another time, but this seems to be, and I'm going to read that in the message, but this seems to be an appropriate place to put this, and I want to read this. Okay, so visit people who are in prison. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by, and hearing by. All right. Anthony was in class with me on Sunday. Lisa, you were there. I taught this to my kids Sunday. Now, the New Living Version says this. I'm going to read it out. So then, faith comes to us by hearing the good news. Who is the good news? Do the people in prison need to hear the good news? Do the people in the workplace need to hear the good news? Do the people at Walmart need to hear the good news? All right. So, yeah. Yeah, they did. I love it. Yeah. Do the people at my place of employment? Yes, they need to hear the good news. I lost my... Okay, so then faith comes to us by hearing the good news. Now here, again, we're taught well. And the good news comes by someone preaching it. Whose responsibility is to preach the good news? Ours. We have a responsibility. Brother Dean, if you and Anthony and Brother Bob and your father don't go to the jail ministry, how are they going to hear the good news if we don't preach the good news? That's helping people. See, I'm preaching myself happy. I'm getting excited. Yeah. Preach that. We have that responsibility to do so. I want to read that Matthew 25, 34 through 36, and then go on through 40 out of the message. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, enter, you have blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was homeless, you gave me room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, you stopped the visit. I was in prison, Brother Dean, Mr. Osman, Brother Bob, Anthony, and you came to me, and all of those that are involved in the jail ministry. I was sick, and you visited me, Elder Galeno, at the Ridge. Them people where Brother Elder Galeno goes, they look forward to that. I get a lot out of there. A lot of our participants come out of there. 37 through 40, then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison or come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. I love it. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, and that's so easy to do, that was me you did it to. You did it to me. People are overlooked today because they're not churched and they don't help people because we have become a selfish society. We need to practice 10 things that you as a... Now listen, it can be contagious. If we practice these 10 things, other people see it. Prayerfully, it gets contagious and all of a sudden more people will do these things. And these are things that, again, that I said that you already know. But a little bit of stirring up doesn't hurt. A little bit of shake. You know what they used to do when my dad and I used to go fishing? All you fishermen in here, we would go to Pay Lakes. This is when we used to fish for trout. And they would stalk the trout. My dad would spin like crazy. And he couldn't catch a bite. Get nothing. Remember, a little bit of stirring up does good. And all of you know, here's the day of the stocking, and here comes the stock truck, and they put them fresh trout in that lake. Not only are those trout moving, those trout stir up the other ones that are in there, the other fish. It's a stirring that we as a body of Christ need to do. I don't know that Saul would have been converted if he hadn't heard the good news or somebody preaching it. Of course, he was kind of listening to Jesus when he talked to him. But during his whole campaign and all the things that he did, you know he heard the good news being preached. You know he did. You don't think that stuck a little bit? Heard. We have a body of Christ need to preach. They're not going to hear for the lack of bad grammar, Bert. They ain't going to hear it if you don't preach it. Oh, here comes Joel. Timothy, what's the matter with you? Number three. Again, answer. Don't worry. Every day. Don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. That's, yeah. Don't worry. Do your best. Deal with life's problems, but don't worry. Instead, what'd you just say? Okay, pray. Okay. Instead, have faith. Pray. I like that. Have faith in Jesus that all things will work out in the way they need to work out, not the way you want them to work out. Amen? Don't worry. Have faith that things will work out the way that He already knows what we need. And He knows what we want. But a lot of times, how do you know, we tell our children, don't let your wants over exceed your needs. Our Heavenly Father is no different. He knows what our needs, and He's going to supply everything that we need. Everything. Don't worry. You'll live longer. You won't have ulcers. You won't go bald. I shave mine, so. Yeah, thank you. Who of you, or can any of you, Aliquippa Christian Assembly and churches around the U.S. and the world, who of you, or can any of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Can any of us? Don't worry. But people want to worry every day. That will draw you down, make you tired, and get you in depression quicker than you know how to say what happened. Depression is a key tool of the devil. He wants to keep you in a humdrum, woe is me, look at me, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go eat worms. And then when you're in that kind of mental attitude, you're not preaching the Word of God or preaching to any. Now listen, when it says to preach, and that is our responsibility, that doesn't mean just here at church. And I don't mean going to somebody and grabbing them by the shoulders and say, you got to hear about Jesus. I'm talking about kindness and knowing what somebody is going through and say, brother, just let me share with you what Christ has done for me. Honey will draw. Honey, the sweetness of Jesus Christ will draw. Amen? Number four. This is stuff we already know. Stir it up. Because I want to be stirred. Read the Bible when? Every day. Read the Bible. But I'm busy. Yeah. How many times have you heard Pastor Jack or Pastor Bannon or a lot of the other speakers come up here? First thing we do is we go home, hurry up, do our chores around the house, bing, bing, shave, shower, whatever the case may be, get downstairs, and immediately go on the couch and turn the TV. I'm guilty. 10 minutes before that TV comes on. Read the Bible. Be surprised what 10 minutes can do for your spirit man. Amen? Read the Bible. If you read the Bible for about 10 to 20 minutes, when? Every day. You can finish the four Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in 1 month. 10 to 20 minutes every day. Now, this is not a race. It's not a race. I'm not saying read this and get it done in 1 month. If you see something you like and a light bulb goes off, stop and read it again tomorrow. Let that light bulb go off several times. There's that Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal. Yeah. Read it every day. The four Gospels describes the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why wouldn't we want to read them every day? Amen? Because I get lazy. I'll put it on me. We do. We get so busy. Yeah, we get so busy and we get lazy. I don't feel like it. Nobody asks you whether you feel like it or not. You're not moved by what you feel. You're not moved by that. David said, why so downcast? He spoke to it. Put your trust in God. Why are you so tired? Just read it. Every day. It takes discipline. It does. Number five. I'm kind of hollering, huh? That's because I'm excited. Give thanks and be joyful. When? Every day. Give thanks and be joyful every day. Be joyful always or rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, not just some. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. That's the NIV translation. Give thanks, and be joyful every day. What will that do for me? If we give thanks and are joyful every day, then all of a sudden those problems that are to wanting to pile on, you're not, they're there, and they're not going to go away. But if you're giving thanks and joyful when? Every day. You're going to be able to handle these situations better, because now you are not getting depressed by looking at that situation. Just chisel one little problem at a time. Chisel one little problem at a time every day. And all of a sudden, that what seemed to be like a real rough ride in the ocean, starting to get a little smoother. Things were going to come at you because the devil doesn't quit. But reading every day. Number six is pray. The next one. Pray every day. When? Every day. Reading every day. Praying every day. Helping others. Listen to what you're doing. By doing these things, you're stirring up your spirit, man. You're getting excited. You're not concentrating on I, me, my. You're helping other people. You're thinking, we're taught this in this church every day. We are. We are responsible to do the preaching part every day. Amen? Now, He knows our makeup, created us. Not only did He tell us to pray every day, He tells us how to pray. You got to love a God that does that. He doesn't just throw you out there, you know? Then this is how you should pray. Everybody knows the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Whose? Your will be done. Whose? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and He will, because that's something you need. He knows that. Give us this day your daily bread. He knows you need it. Whether it is physical or spiritual daily bread. Reading every day, praying every day. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus explained how people should pray, and He quoted this, and you know it's in Matthew. He quoted it. Not only did He tell us to pray, then He tells us how to pray. Practice. It's like a good baseball team. The coach will tell you, the pitching coach, the batting coach, how to bring that bat, where to bring that. Pastor Jack used to do it with your softball players every day. This is how you do it. Not only did you tell them how you do it, you showed them how to do it. We need that. And God knows that. So He's not going to leave us hanging, church. Number seven, forgive your enemies when? Every day. Forgive your enemies. Man, that's a hard one. Yeah, forgive your enemies every day. Well, maybe I don't want to do it over the weekend. I think God will know. Because, see, think about that. Why should we forgive our enemies every day? Every single day. Monday through Friday, you think you're good. You got a couple days coming your way. You're going to blast them on the weekend. All right. I was good for 5 days. I'm going to give them a shot over the weekend. I'm going to fester over the weekend. I don't like them. They don't deserve me to forgive them. Everything that you just worked for in 5 days, you're festering over in a short 2 days, so come Monday, you're miserable and nobody wants to be around you. Think about that. That's why you forgive them when? Every day. Because you don't want to fester. Because let me tell you, it's easier to spend money than it is to make it. And it's quicker to spend it. This is no different, you know? So you work on it Monday through Friday and you fester for 2 days and you're a miserable person again on Monday. I thought of my dad, Pastor. I thought of my dad at the hallway. Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I was just going to say son of a gun, but yeah. Forgive your enemies. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here's some tough things to hear. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Every day. Matthew 6, 14, 15. Number 8, this is so easy to mess up. Be careful with what you say. When? Every day. You know, we're in that workplace. We're at home. And we get buddy-buddy and chummy-chummy. And we're laughing. And all of a sudden, you're saying things you normally wouldn't say. You definitely wouldn't say those things in church. Because you're rubbing elbows with everybody and you just want to be a part of the crowd. Be careful of what you say every day. It's easy to get caught up into that, church. I had to think, wait. I shouldn't be saying these things. I know we're just having fun, but it's just a little bit. A little bit turns into a lot after a while. But I tell you that, it says men, but I wrote everyone. I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Ouch. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 through 37. I don't know about you. That's why I say, Father, please quicken me by the Holy Spirit. Tie my tongue in a knot and let me speak what you want me to speak every day. Quicken me. Now, here's the thing. He probably does quicken us every day. But back to the beginning prayer, I want to ask you to repeat this after me. We have to listen to it every day. Now, once we listen to it, you know, I can hear him, you know, son, I, you're not being a good Christian. Okay, Father, now we have to do it. Not only listen to it, but we have to do it. Amen? Number 9, learn the Word of God every day. It's not just a much listen to it, and read it, study it. Several ways you can study it. I know 2 very good ways. Come to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. Those are 2 real good, because we got Pastor Ben and Pastor Jack, and they can preach the heck out of this word. And everybody that comes up to this pulpit, it's because of what we're taught, how we're taught. Amen? Those are 2 very good ways. I always tell everybody, listen, you can come to our church and you're not going to sit there and just listen. You're going to learn. Doors will be open to you. I've heard that before, but I've never heard it that way. Amen? Number 9, learn the Word of God every day. If you read again the 4 Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see many examples of how a Christian should act. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Jesus quoted this in Matthew 7, 24. Every day. Hears those words of his and puts them into practice. A coach can, Pastor Jack again will tell you when he's teaching his girls softball. They hear that coach put those words and tell them, but those kids, those girls that have to put that into practice. We're no different. We hear the word, faith cometh by hearing every day, but we have to preach that word, and by preaching it and telling somebody about it, we are putting that into practice. Amen? Don't let somebody look at you, and even if they look at you, so what? So what? Yeah, I'm one of them crazy born-again Christians. they don't understand church. They look at you like with two different shades of glasses on. They just simply don't understand. That's why we as a body of Christ can't take offense. Just sit there and smile. Can't take offense because we're not here to please them anyway. We're here to serve them. Pastor said time and time again, please God, serve the people. Please God, serve the people every day. Number 10, tell others about Jesus when? Every day. Tell others about Jesus every day. Tell others about Jesus that he died for our sins. You'd be surprised the people that don't know that. People have heard it, but they don't know it. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah, I know. They're talking about Jesus. He was on the cross. They don't know it. That's right, right here. They know it here. Thank you. But not here in your heart. That's the difference. That's why when we do what we're supposed to do and preach it, they hear it. And by hearing it, faith comes. We preach it. They hear it. Faith comes. We preach it. They hear it. Faith comes. We have a huge responsibility as a body of Christ. Tell others about Jesus that he died for our sins and that all who believes in him are saved and are given the gift of eternal life in heaven. What a gift. Nothing you have earned, nothing you can earn, nothing you can do. It's a free gift. Talk to people, write a letter, create a website, encourage family members. Do it all. Do it all. Friends and others to attend church with you. So when I think of this, when we say attend church with you, that doesn't basically mean, because I have friends that, hey, I'll meet you at church 10 o'clock Sunday. No, I'll be at your house. I'll show you where it is with you. Bring them. Because if we depend on people to come, they're not going to come. Because something will always come up. First of all, it's Sunday. Who wants to do anything on a Sunday? Because they don't, again, Brother Dean, know. Right here. They don't know. See? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're doing good on time, Pastor Jack. Okay? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's in red, I'm sure. Who's speaking? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Always means when? Every day. Every day he is with us until our last breath. And even when our last breath is there, he's there. Because he's promised us a heavenly home every day. Pastor Bannon was called to make disciples, and he has fulfilled what God wanted him to do. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I see it every day. Every day. See? It's going right into the message, Pastor. Yeah. Church, it doesn't stop here. Now that those disciples have been taught, it is up to them to carry on the work that God has put on Pastor Bannon's heart, to bring the lost into the fold. Who is that responsibility fall on? Whose shoulders? Ours. We are to, and again, you don't have to be a putz or a brute, you know, and just beat people over the head. Shower them with love. Tell them about what Christ has done for all of us. Tell them stories. You know, this one time, I was working at a dealership, and I didn't have a stitch of food in my refrigerator. Then one day I came home. I tell this time and time again. One day I came home. Why I went in the fridge, I don't know. Opened it up, and it was full from top to bottom, and the cupboards were full with canned goods. I had cereal. I had milk. I had pop. I had tea. I had it all. I asked my wife, where did it come from? I don't know. I came home, and there was bags of groceries on the front porch every day. Every day. Every day. Because that's what God will do. God will do that. Every day. Those are the responsibilities that we do. What we don't want to do, church, is keep everything we have learned and keep it to ourselves. That makes us fat cats, and then that makes us also selfish. Amen? Now, listen, I know how God's grace is, but I just want to give you food for thought. I guess you could say that by not telling others what we have learned, we could be responsible for their place in eternity. Holding it back. We could be responsible for their place in eternity. Not that God won't send a perfect laborer, don't get me wrong, but we had a perfect opportunity and we did nothing with it. What if we were the last person that brother or sister ever talked to before he or she died? I'm just saying. What if? Two words, what if? What if? And you could have changed their heart at that time and we held it back. Just what if? Nick was saying to me one night after prayer on a Wednesday that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We can ill afford to let those precious opportunities pass by us. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8, King James Version, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to read that into the message. He gets the last word, 8 through 11. Keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. That's what he does. And would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only one plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Every day, aren't you glad? I want to read this a little different, just to put a different light on it, because if the devil is seeking whom he will devour, it is an everyday occurrence, amen? So let's read it again, and I want you to repeat those two words when I point at you. Let's read it again. Keep a cool head.
Every day.
Stay alert.
Every day.
The devil is poised to pounce.
Every day.
Yes, he is. And would like nothing better than to catch you napping.
Every day.
Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones
plunged
into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before his generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together on your feet for good. He, God, gets the last word. So church, every day. So church, we see how important every day is. It is a new day of opportunity tomorrow. If you blew it, it's a new day of opportunity. A new day to give the devil a black eye. A new day to trust God and to be patient and see what he has in store. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, the Living Bible. His compassions never end. They're when? Every day. It is only the Lord's mercies that keep us from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh every day. It says each day, but I wanted to put every day in there. Aren't you glad? Amplified Bible, Classic Edition 22. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender mercies, compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. Or we could say, when? Every day. Aren't you glad, church, that if God takes the time to make sure his mercy and grace is renewed, say it with me, every day, then it only stands to reason that we should renew our minds to him, say it one more time, every day. I have delivered what I have received. Thank you. Thank you. But a good stirring never hurt anybody. Iron sharpens iron. I got brothers in here that see me going astray. They're not afraid. They ain't scared to say, come here, I want to talk to you. I need that in my life, and I appreciate them every day. I am so grateful for my family here at El Equipa Christian Assembly every day. I'm going to close in prayer. If you had need for prayer, I will.